Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Junktime AFL podcast. March 2023, we come to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain and joining me is a man who has been fired as St Kilda's IT bloke. It is Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junktimers. It was going to be an exciting time as we count down into round one, but I find myself in this time of hyperinflation and a shocking economy once again out of work, Michael, and You can't believe my luck sometimes. So I was hired as the IT manager down at St Kilda. And what all clubs do in the pre-season is they film all the pre-season trial matches against opposition. So in St Kilda, we're playing Fremantle. And then once that has been filmed, it's recorded and uploaded to a general sort of Dropboxy thing where all the other teams can access it and have a look at the teams and to see what's going on. We all did it. We all do it. I made the mistake. Now, normally it's uploaded without audio.
Yep.
I didn't know that. It's my first week in the job, right? So we had obviously the audio of brand new St Kilda coach Ross Lyon in the box. And I thought what they wanted me to do was to clip up all of Ross's audio into subfolders, into topics, and put those up on the website for everyone to access.
Uh-huh.
And these are the folders that I uploaded. So these are the names of the folders, and you can find the audio clips that you were after.
Easy access.
Very easy access. You just go through, scroll through, and be like, oh, I want to hear what he says about this.
Yep.
And then you would go through it. So the folders' names were, and I'm sorry to St Kilda for putting this up there and bringing up some bad blood that, you know, clearly you're not happy with. But the names of the folders were weak cunts, shit cunts, lame cunts, weak fuck, shit fuck, fuck fucks, soft fucking fucks, lurking low dog fuck, list clogging fucks, should have been abandoned as a child, pale fucks, stupid dogs, imbecile dog fucks, can't kick cunts,
yep,
weaker than a little girl fucks. Pretty good kick that. Stupid, dumb, motherfucking, fucking dog cunts.
Uh-huh. And then...
That was the first quarter.
Oh, yeah, sure. There was not a Nathan Fife, I love you kind of folder there?
Not that I heard. That might have come in the later quarters, but mm-hmm, I didn't get to that before I got sacked. So
yep,
I, once again, am out of a job. Now, can you imagine? So this, they found out a couple of days after this got uploaded and they realised that the audio had gone to air. Can
Dude,
you imagine?
The person.
As you are the IT manager.
Dude.
Sitting back, maybe you're at home, you know, you put it up there, you're going, oh, job done, click, going home, taking it easy.
You're working IT at a football club, like how much IT is there? Like how many employees, it's not like you're working at ANZ, you got to stop, you know, cyber attacks and shit like that. Like you're helping people with get Excel, helping them get, you know, Word, creating a Google Drive for them.
I beg to differ though. You're putting up articles on a website that only rabid, crazy ass sad fans like us read. So you're putting all those together, you're editing up, maybe it's the social media manager who puts, you know, has a chat to the 43rd bloke on the list and goes, oh, someone will watch this.
Yeah,
12
for sure.
Interview.
It's like,
and I do,
it's like get to know, you know, Adam Rosenbach.
Yes.
Adam, what's your favorite food? Adam, yeah, what's your favorite band? Adam, what's your favorite film? Shawshank Redemption, obviously,
of course. They shouldn't even bother. But imagine this guy. So he's gone home. He's probably gone to the wife's gone, how was today? And he's gone, fucking had a ripper. It was a trial match. Had a trial match against Frio. Did you have to do much? No, really. Just they just film it and I just upload it to this thing. It's fucking, you can do it with your eyes shut.
They're bloody kidding themselves paying me this much just to do nothing. And I can't do anything wrong. They can't work computers. They think I'm magical. Tell them about Google Drives. They're going, what's this Google thing you're talking about?
Yeah.
I'm still on Bing.
So then he gets a text message come through, go, hey, mate, I just got on there. I was looking at today's trial match and it's got the audio from Ross Lyon. Is that just us that can hear that? And he's going, oh, No, that must be just a file that he can hear. It goes in there, checks it out. Every other club has access to this. Now, can you imagine his drive into work the next day? Or say he was still at work.
No. Ross immediately showed up at his house 5 minutes later.
Imagine that conversation, because the outcome of this was Ross Lyon had to go and front the playing group and apologise. He had to like front foot it and go out there and say, hey, fellas, there may be audio floating around that does not shine some of you in such a great... I know it's hard to believe, cuddly Ross.
Yep.
You may not come across as... I may not paint you in the greatest light as footballers or humans or men.
Now, and also on top of that, look, some of the words, okay, about you may not be perfect, but I want to warn you as well, there's a lot of deep fake AI going around at the minute. So,
yes,
you know, it could be someone doing an impersonation of me.
That could be possible. Just imagine the whiteness when you explain to Ross what happened.
Yeah.
You go, so I upload the file. Yeah, that's fine. We do it at all the games.
Yep.
Yeah, but... you were being recorded in the box. Is that right? Was I?
He just reaches into the second drawer in his desk and just pulls out a barbed wire baseball bat that he has handy for occasions like this. But the St Kilda players actually said that they actually admired him for getting on the front foot. And they said he actually explained kind of a rough transcript of what he was saying. And they were actually like, actually, it was nothing too bad. Although I do think if Ross is there going, this is what I said. And they go, oh, yeah, I actually complimented you quite profusely.
Yes. I was probably over the top.
I actually apologise for pumping you up too much.
You guys are going to get too far ahead of yourselves, and I apologise for that, St Kilda players. I really do get out there.
They said they had more respect for him after he got on the front foot. I love that term now. Yeah, we're hearing that term more and more now, getting on the front foot to apologise, and said they had more respect for him. But they said he kind of took them through the whole transcript. So did he recreate the whole fucking four quarters of the game?
And then for 10 minutes, like I was really quiet, actually, because I was having a pie. And then at the 15-minute mark, I said,
But I actually have a feeling that Ross, for all the kind of moaning and groaning you see on the screen, I feel like he wouldn't be a huge talker in the box. What do you think?
I reckon he would be. I think not like a constant commentary, but the commentary that you do get, I imagine, would be so savage.
Yeah, yeah.
That I reckon people around him would be afraid to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want to cop it coming in their direction.
I mean, I don't think it'd be on Rocket Aid level from that recording from a few years ago, which is still probably one of the greatest all-time recordings of a coach
Rocket,
ever.
Calm down. We can't think. Fucking Will Winton. Get Will Winton off the fucking ground.
But I don't think I don't think Ross would be that thorough. Like, he wouldn't be constantly talking. I think he'd pick his moments, and he would be oh so mad evil when he hits the target.
The things that he does say would be so savage.
Yeah.
Like, I know the players are saying, hey, we respect him front-footing it. But I tell you what, you would be back-footing it with a helmet on and a guard on and every bit of padding if you got to hear exactly what he said about you individually.
Yeah, what he's thinking, Like, he's literally like, John, that dude should be put in a shallow grave immediately after the game in the car park.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be brutal.
I don't know if I've told this on the podcast, but I was talking to a former assistant coach of Ross Lyons, and he was saying that at one point that Ross was being so savage in the box to the assistant coaches, because he'd be like, tell me how many fucking touches has so-and-so had, and someone was really slow and giving it up, or who was playing on who or whatever. And it got to the point where they just went, we're not going to front foot any of this shit. No, another front foot.
Yeah.
We're not going to give him the info he needs because he's really fucking pissing us off.
Yeah, sure. It'd be so tense in there, wouldn't it? Like, if you are the dude doing, stats or whatever, or clip. Or, I remember when he had Andy Lee on the show, and they'd clip up stuff, like clip up stoppages and stuff like that to show them at quarter time, and like be manic. Like, I mean, I even know, like, working on TV stuff, like people like running around like, going, oh, do this, do that, when we're recording a show. And you go like... You know it's taped. You know we can do it again.
yeah, we can watch this. It's okay.
We can calm down.
But it has been a busy couple of weeks at St Kilda training, because they had a big thing on their screen out at RS RSA Park? Is that what it is? RSEA?
That's a really good question, yeah.
Yeah. They had a big thing up on the screen saying no filming at training. You weren't allowed to film anything. So Ross Lyon has said that he doesn't want any other clubs to access the IP to see how St Kilda managed to kick three goals in a whole game.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think that was actually an intra-club match, okay? Yes. So it was like Shirts versus Skins, Catholics versus Protestants. I'm not totally yeah. sure. But okay. But yeah, so no filming there to show the stunning tactics St Kilda used to finish a remarkable 13th this year.
You go, oh, my God, he's got all 36 players in the defensive 50.
Yeah,
how has he done
that's
that?
The thing. Yeah, I mean, you realise, Ross, like, one team has to attack. But I do hope the Saints do make the eight this year, I must say. I do actually, you know, friend of the show, Charlie Clawson, needs some love in his life. But, yeah, the Saints have kind of been slowly brewing.
Hang on. I need some love in my life. Well, do you hope the Carlton makes the eight?
If you guys finish 17th, that is a beautiful outcome. And also, I just pray you've given away, like, future first rounders, and so you don't actually get a pick in the first round. Fuck, that's savage. But I do find it fascinating the way that clubs will sometimes say, don't film today, film tomorrow, don't film this day, film. And then also, like, even, you know, you take examples like, you know, Hawthorn at Waverley, and it's like, don't film today. Guys, there are 50 houses circling your oval.
But also, too, like, if you don't film one day, so you go, and this is going to be our tactics for the upcoming week, aren't you going to see that exposed in the opening couple of minutes of the game? Like, even though, you know, we spoke to Brad Johnson about the famous flood in 2000 against Essendon. And for all the flooding that they had, they basically were trailing by, what, three or four goals at three-quarter time, and Terry Wallace just said, bloody kick it long!
Go for it!
And that's what they did. They just, you know, the shackles came off, Michael. You know what? There's too many shackles in football.
Well, actually, he made a good point, actually, because I remember going to that game the week after. They tried it again against Hawthorn the next week because I think both teams were maybe trying to get into the eight. Off the top of my head, I can't quite remember. I know Hawthorn made the eight that year, but we actually defeated them because I suppose they went, well, if they try this, we'll do this. We'll kick it over them, I suppose.
Now, we have got comedy festival shows very close to debuting.
I actually think in 3 weeks. We're recording this on Saturday, 12:15 Eastern Standard Time. 3 weeks and 3 hours and 35 minutes, I will be on stage calling Jock McHale a fraud.
Really? Fuck the big things. Oh, man,
a cheat and a fraud.
What are the details of your show?
It's called Michael Chamberlain's Completely Incomplete History of Australian Rules, and it's going to be at the Coopers Inn at 4 p.m. on four Saturdays of the Comedy Festival. So April 1, 8, 15, 22. It's going to be fucking sick. What about you, Adam?
And I am, my show is called High Functioning Idiot. I start on April the 11th, which is Tuesday, so I've got just over a month. And I'm on at 8:10 p.m. also at the Coopers Inn in the city in Melbourne. And also tickets for both of us available at Try Booking. And of course, Junk Timers, you can put in the code LOWDOG, all one word. Get yourself a discount. We do love to see your faces.
And also, you can go through the Comedy Festival website, comedyfestival.com.au. Click through. That will take you to Try Booking as well, so you can peruse other shows as well and get and see what's going on.
Yeah, and I did a trial show on Thursday night, and I thought it went okay. So
yeah, sick.
You know, it's gonna be good.
Oh, that's good, man. That's good. High functioning idiot.
Yes.
In what ways? Give me a quick snapshot on how you're a high functioning idiot, because I know you're a high functioning method, but yes. What about high functioning idiot?
Well, an idiot is someone who would buy a takeaway tea and then assume that they could drink that straight away.
Yeah.
Even though it takes off 13 layers off the roof of your mouth. Yeah. And I know that's going to happen, and yet I still go, oh, this would be okay, and then drink it. And yet I can still hold down a job. So those two things are in direct contrast to each other.
Yeah, I do a lot of that kind of stuff. I'm the kind of guy who's like, nah, I won't get a cab to the airport. Nah, what I'll do is I'll get the bus to here, and then I'll catch the train to here, and then you go, fuck, I've read the time wrong, and I'm fucking running around. Yeah, I do that shit. Even today, actually, I went down to Chadstone Shopping Centre for our international list of the Chadstone Shopping Centre. Is like a massive shopping centre. I remember when it was like a mire. Well, that's all it was. Now it's like a whole suburb. So I had to go down there to get a charger for my laptop, because it's a nightmare when you have problems with your laptop, right? And anyway, I go there, it's a nightmare. I get it, I come back, find out that all I had to do was restart my computer and the charger wasn't broken in the first place. I'm like, oh, that was $118. Fuck.
Fucking someone's doing very well. But I can afford $118 charger, by the way, Junk Timers. You
can.
Might want to get along to Michael's show because I think he needs a little bit of a coin to help him out here.
I can take it back though. But even on Tuesday night, my job that I do, like I left my charger there overnight,
yeah.
And so I had to go on Wednesday morning to pick it up because I, you know, need it because my computer was running out of power. And one of the ladies at work was like, I was like, oh, I've just got to pick up my charger. She's like, but it's your day off. Like, why do you need your laptop? And I'm like, A, you clearly have no understanding of the job I do at this fucking show. And then B, like, do you just, like, not touch your computer, like, during the entire day? Like, oh, it's my day off. I'm just not going to even find out anything about the world today.
Well, I reckon a lot of people would be like that. They would use their phones as their kind of access to the outside world, and then they go into work and log back on and be like, oh, here's the Excel spreadsheet that I left on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock when I had my first drink.
Hey, someone did a bit more than drinking, Adam. Jack Ginnivan. Actually, and they're by the grace of God go all of us, but he had a bit of a tight spot about, what, 3 weeks ago when he got...
Can't a man go into a toilet cubicle with another man and snort some ketamine off a key without everyone wanting to film it? Michael, what have we become?
I actually feel really bad for him. And also, I didn't realise this, but ketamine seems to be the... people say ketamine's what all the kids are doing these days.
Oh, fuck yeah. Mate, we're all into it. That's what I'm selling down the street. That's what I'm using. I'm on ketamine right now.
And it kind of makes sense that it's a horse tranquilizer by the fact that all those horses, they're only like 3 years old, 4 years old, yeah. 5 years old. So it's all the kids are doing it.
They love it. And horses, obviously need to be injured. So you'll often see a horse just walk. It's, you know, when they've got like the horse trailer on the back of a car, it'll deliberately walk its shin into the tow bar on the back of that truck just so it can like hobble around and be like, oh, fuck me shin. And they'll be like, do you need some K? And they'll be like, yeah. And you want to see the size of the fucking key they need to give it to for a horse. It's like, they have got some fucking nostrils on it.
It's like when they hand over the key to the city.
Yes, it's like that. You want some K? And it's like dipping it in. And it's really hard to hold that key when you've got hooves.
Well, the actual footage of Jack is actually a bit sketchy. And part of the reason why it was so sketchy was because he actually went into the cubicle with a horse. So that's why.
Yeah.
But I actually generally kind of felt really bad for Jack by the fact, like, this is a really low dog act. Like, was he Torquay pub? Is that right?
It was a Torquay pub, yeah.
And so he kind of went in the toilet. So some dudes, like, filmed through a hole in a window or something over a wall.
Like over the top of the cubicle. So when are we going to start as a society? Let's go fucking floor to ceiling walls and doors in toilet cubicles. Because you know what I don't want when I'm on the toilet is to hear the motherfucker next door.
Yeah, sure.
Just put exhaust fans in each fucking cubicle and solve that problem of the fucking where's the privacy at. You ever been to a toilet in the States where they don't have a door on the cubicle?
Oh, God, no. I've never seen that. No, I mean, I think there are a few reports of, like, schools doing that because kids would go in and, well, they're probably vaping now as opposed to smoking, but, like, they took the doors off the toilets because they were like, we want to make sure people aren't smoking in there. I remember this, hopefully this is not too gross, but in Sydney, this is what, 2 months ago or something, I had to go to the toilets. I think it was at Town Hall Station. You know that scene from Trainspotting where he goes into the worst toilets in Scotland? These were like what I did made an improvement to that part. It was fucking the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life, but I was desperate.
Mate, you know you're at a low ebb in life when you have to use the main train station's public toilets.
Oh, it's like awful.
First you've got to walk past the urinals and lose your fucking eyelashes and your eyebrows as that fucking smell just wafts over you. It's like Chernobyl. Yeah. You're just in there like, oh, I can't breathe. And then you close that stainless steel door behind you.
God.
And you're lucky if they've got a seat. So now you've got to do this weird fucking squat. And then they've got that wax paper which just shifts stuff around and doesn't do anything. And you're like, oh, I am just going to go and lay down on the tracks because that was where my life
is. It really is the kind of thing like where you just go, I just need to go home now. I'm going off to do stand up or whatever. I'm like, I need to go home and I need to like soak in bleach for 3 weeks just to get all of this out of my system.
or you need to go to one of those car washers. With really
give me the lot, man. Give me the lot.
Yeah, just walking through with the brushes fucking hitting you and you're like, oh, God, it's not getting it off.
You just strip off nude at the entrance and just walk through. But I feel really bad because the guy filmed it and then immediately thought, I've got something, and went straight to Channel 7. Okay, yes. So the idea is that you couldn't see Jack actually doing anything, and you I don't think you could even tell it was him. So it was a pretty poor shot. But the guy went straight to Channel 7 and said, hey, I've got this. And you got the general vibe that it is him.
Yeah, yeah, you got the gist.
Yeah, and they were like, we're not really into this. And so they went and told Collingwood, and then Collingwood front-footed it and told AFL. And so therefore, like, they kind of, I mean, to the credit of the media company, like, they kind of, you know, didn't, you know, stitch him up.
And didn't pay for it.
Yeah, yeah. And, but it was like, fuck, man, you're pretty fucking low dog. Fucking, you're intentionally trying to fuck someone now, you know?
Yes, and the thing I hate about it, so there was a shot, someone took a photo of the guy filming over the...
Oh, God.
Over the booth. And what I love is that, you know, he has requested, you know, even though he's invaded Jack Ginnivan's privacy, this guy wants his privacy. And it's like, why do you get it? Why do you get to do that to Jack Ginnivan? And then he gets to suffer that.
It's really strange. Maybe there should be kind of some kind of, in the future, like some kind of AI future, like where phones like shut down when you go into toilets of any type.
That's so, not a bad idea. But also, can I just put it out there to any junk timers listening? If you are going to film them in the toilets doing drugs, please turn your phone to landscape. Like, do it properly, you know?
Get a better
Make
shot.
Make sure you get vision in and out of the bathroom. Don't just fucking quickly put it up there and hold it over. Make sure you've got a good look at what you are filming. We don't want, you know, the edge of the toilet cubicle. We don't want the wall. We want the a shot, a money shot of the key with the K on it. You know, just think about what you're fucking doing and do it properly. If you're going to invade someone's privacy, for God's sake, get it right.
But also, and this is, you know, football world and non-football world, but also, like, how desperate are people to take photos of their friends doing drugs? Like, like, you ever kind of see someone just be like, well, I mean, like, I've taken a lot of photos of, like, my nephew and nieces over the years.
Wow, that sentence really took a turn there.
Take you're photos like, of my nephew and nieces where there's, like, a cute moment. I go, I want to remember this moment. And then, yeah, but like, I don't, like, just go, like, oh, fuck, my friend's fucking up. I'm going to fucking take a photo of it and film it.
Yeah, but what if, okay, you look back on those photos and your nieces and nephews have a little Kmart plate in the background, a couple of little lines of fucking whiz fizz lined up there. They go, fucking Uncle Michael's got the camera out. You're down at the primary school showing the teachers, go, mate, look at what he's up to.
Well, I know why Tuesday was a bad day for him then.
Did he seem sad on Tuesday?
He was out of control. But actually, Collingwood supporter made a very good point, which I actually quite agree with. There was a Collingwood supporter. It's a guy called Maguire, I think it is. A Collingwood supporter. He's just a big Collingwood supporter. Yeah, a guy called Edward Maguire. And and he made a point that players could be maybe faced with extortion about clips like this. And I actually thought that's actually a very good point, Mr. Millionaire Hot Seat. Like, players could be faced with extortion where they kind of, you know, nothing to stop that guy from going into the toilets after taking that footage and going, hey, Jack, give me $50,000 or I'm going to the press. I'm putting it online, you know?
Yeah, and I guess, you know what, and if that sort of thing starts happening, that's when players just refuse to go out. Like, you know, you almost rarely see NBA players or NFL players being completely and utterly in public, whereas, you know, we've got pretty good access. We've got, you know, footballers in real life, it would kill off that segment if that became a thing. You know, that it'd just be like, oh, I saw, you know, Patrick Dangerfield's motorcade going down the Princes Highway on the way to Geelong. That's the only access that we would have to footballers.
Well, that's actually a good point by the fact that when you look at the houses of, like, NFL, NBA players and the like.
Oh, man.
And they've got, like, you know, basements down the bottom where they essentially have their own nightclubs. And it's like, yeah, because we party at my house. We don't go and party out at the clubs.
I mean, I like the idea of that. I'm not against that.
Well, you've got a basement at your house, but that's for different things.
Yeah, I call it a party. I call it a party.
But I actually think that's a genuine point. And also, it could even be just, you know, relationship stuff or, you know, like, you know, hey, you've fucked me over on this. I'm going to go public on Twitter unless you give me, you know, $15,000-$20,000.
Well, the other thing the Collingwood supporter brought up a couple of years ago was he was talking whenever they published the salaries of the players, yep, that it could open them up to, you know, kidnapping.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like someone could go, oh, so-and-so earns this much money and we're going to kidnap their kid. And it's like, well, you'd get the kid autographed first by the person
I
and then
so.
You kidnap them. So they're worth a bit more.
Now I'm actually thinking back, actually, this is a football in real life from a few years ago, which we didn't have the names on it, so we actually weren't bad in this situation.
Okay.
But do you remember there was a football in real life where a junk timer had bought some form
yes.
of drug
yes.
from a player at a
yes,
music
yes,
festival,
I
remember.
Yes.
And they thought the price was a bit over the top. the player complained about the price.
Right.
And the junk timer was like, dude, I know how much you make, you can afford it.
That's extortion. That is extortion right there. Just the idea that an AFL player would haggle.
Oh, God. Anyway, heck. I mean, I think the average wage is now like 400 grand. I think it went up again this year. So, you know. I mean, not as good as us, mate. But, you know,
well,
they're doing all right.
Clearly not. But, okay, would the players be able to afford to buy food and drink now at the MCG? Because inflation has bitten. And food and drink is going up at the MCG. First time since 2019.
Yeah, sure. The good people at, what is it? Priceless? What's
that? Yeah, I think so.
What's the catering
company? Spotless.
Spotless, yeah, catering.
Spotless.
Yeah.
All right, how much, before you look at the article, how much will a hot dog cost you? How much does a hot dog cost you, reckon?
I reckon a hot dog would go for, like, new price?
New price, yeah.
I reckon a hot dog would go for $8.50.
Yeah, see, I would have thought footy $8.50 for a hot dog. $5.50 now.
Actually, that's not a bad deal, actually.
You're saving $3. I mean, you know, that is ridiculously expensive for a hot dog, but footy hot dog, you're like, oh, not bad.
That's actually not too bad. I actually don't mind that at all. Because let's talk about your football eating habits, because mine are very specific by the fact I can't really eat a great deal at the footy with my gluten stuff. So I have a gluten-free pie, which is actually quite delicious, and it actually is actually real mince. It's not like, you know, the greyhound that got, you know, finished last on a Wednesday night at the...
At the Meadows.
Yeah, the Meadows. I was trying to think of the name of it.
You go, oh, yeah, because my pies always taste slightly like deep heat. You go, which part of the greyhound is this?
But what were your footy eating habits?
You know what? I generally don't eat at the footy.
Same fucking room for the fucking froths, mate.
That's right, exactly. Eating's cheating. And even when they give me like a bourbon and coke, I get them to take the ice out. I don't want fucking speed humps, mate. What are you doing?
I don't
want
to fucking dilute this shit, man. I'm getting fucked up.
But generally, I won't eat at the footy.
Okay.
Like, I certainly wouldn't eat a pie because the fucking feeling that would give me for hours afterwards would just... The grease. Oh, Michael. So if I get anything, I might just get some hot chips, pick at the crispy ones, and then use the others to throw at opposition supporters as the game goes on.
Yeah, sure. So the hot chips have gone up a dollar. Now, I'm going to say in the AFL to fans, but maybe it is. But like the prices did go down post COVID years. Like they cut the prices. Now I think they're going back to maybe their natural habitat. So hot chips goes up $1, pie goes up $1. The thing I find interesting here, a chicken burger is $11.50.
Yeah.
And then a beef burger.
Yeah.
Is $5.
I can't believe that. I cannot imagine a ground around Australia when you can get a burger, a beef burger, or any burger, for $5 at the footy. No fucking way.
I would actually be curious. Like, I don't know if McDonald's put their menu prices on their website, but like, I would imagine you don't get much change for $5 from a Big Mac at McDonald's, surely.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so.
So I think a beef burger for $5 is a pretty good deal. But then
I reckon, you know what? It's actually so cheap that you'd be foolish not to buy tickets to the footy, even if you're not into it, just to take the kids out for dinner.
Well, you know actually what I actually did do a few times. Did you ever come to a place when I lived in East Melbourne, just over the road from the MCG? This is like years and years ago. Yeah, so I lived behind the Pullman Hotel now. It was the Hilton at the time. And you could tell it was a goal before it went through by the fact you could hear the crowd before the TV coverage showed you.
And disappointing that TV's on delay. I mean, come on.
Well, it was like by like 2 seconds. But
no, it's not good enough. But I wanted instant.
But it was literally like one street back from And now I'm reflecting. I'm looking like I lived in East Melbourne. So clearly I'm doing very well back then.
So did you move from East Melbourne to East Melbourne? Is that the...
The culture shock. No, my brother went to study in America and so I took over his apartment. I was doing very well at the time. But it was my first time out. And but there were a couple of times where I was like, fuck, the footy's on at the G. I'm like, a pie doesn't taste any better than at the footy. And so I actually, a game that I didn't want to go to, just went in to get a pie at the MCG because I'm like, yeah, eating a pie at the footy, nothing better than that.
Because you didn't have to pay to get in the footy. Have you, okay, when was the last time, and I know this is a difficult question for you because you do have your gluten issue, but when was the last time you ate a pie outside of the footy?
That's a good question. I reckon I've probably done it a few times because they bob up in the shops every now and then. So sometimes you're going to go, oh, yeah, well, you know, I might have these gluten-free party pies and stuff like that. Yeah. But, yeah, but generally like the whole pie, like a big proper pie, like, yeah, only at the footy, yeah. But, and it's the gluten-free ones, yeah. And I'm celiac, guys, so kind of get off my back. We're
so, okay, so circling back, though, like I wouldn't eat a pie at the footy. Having said that, when I have been in the corporate area, which happens to me on the odd occasion, is I will chow down on party pies like they're about to become extinct.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like even footy franks, like,
yeah.
I mean, which is, you know, a smaller version of hot dogs, but like I remember my sister would feed them to her kids when they were little and like, and she's like, you know, Mick, can you go and put the food on the table? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I, if they have like five on their plate, by the time I got to the table, they had two. They are addictive. They are made from 100% sodium, but they are fucking delicious.
Of course. Who doesn't love salt?
But I'm trying to
wonder. You know what they should do? Instead of sodium, if you filled a hot dog with chicken salt, you are fucking on to something.
But I'm trying to wonder what wonders are they doing to the chicken burger that they're not doing to the beef burger? And also, like, I figure, like, chicken would be a cheaper meat, I'd imagine, by the fact sometimes I buy chicken to kind of cook a whole roast chicken and kind of go, I feel like I should be paying more for this chicken. Like, this feels too cheap.
Really, you're concerned the chickens aren't getting enough kickback?
Well, I'm just going to...
You're undercutting yourselves, fellas. Charge more.
But it's a little bit like, you know, it's like $8 or whatever for a whole chicken. I'm like going, I feel like I should be paying more for this quality bird who lived a horrific life in the darkness.
Do you buy yourself a little bit of a bachelor's handbag occasionally, do you?
I actually got a bachelor's handbag the last weekend, I think. Well, last Sunday, I think it was, yeah. So I was working back late and I got the shame bag and did the shame walk. And then actually one of the other people at the ABC was working back a bit later and came into the kitchen and I was cutting up the bachelor's handbag shame pile and putting it in the microwave. And I was like, don't look at me.
That's completely understandable.
But what actually for $10.50 for a schooner for a beer? I feel like that's not bad for a footy, like for a football game. Like I figure, like at a bar, pub, whatever, like you're paying more than that. So I feel like that's not a bad rate. Now that would probably be mid strength. Do you think?
Yeah, that is an excellent question. I'm going to say that is full strength. I reckon mid-strength would be a little bit under that. Or, you know what? A lot of times at night, I reckon mid-strength is exactly the same price because they're just a bit like, hey, you fucking pathetic alcoholic, you're going to drink this regardless. And then you're like, well, it's not touching the sides, mate. I'm not feeling anything. So you got to drink more of them. You know what I mean? So that is that's what mid-strength does. It just makes you drink more. Because you're going to get pissed no matter what, mate. And if you've got to work hard for it, as an Aussie, you'll fucking do it.
But also, I mean, you're not a get drunk at the football kind of guy, right? Like, I literally have never gone to a sporting occasion and been like,
Michael.
I'm getting on it today. Like,
Michael.
Yeah, I watch the game. Like, I always find it fascinating when I go to the number of grand finals that I've been to and you look at the bar and it's completely full. And I go
aren't
you watching the game?
No, please. When I'm in when I've been in corporate areas, I've had to like slow down because you get there like, because it's all free, you get there like 45 minutes
before
the game and then like they're about to bounce the ball and you nearly stumble down the stairs into your, you know, almost fall out of the corporate box onto the seats below and you're like, I better take it easy here.
I can't remember if it was you or a friend of the show, Limo, but I feel like it might have been Limo. You might clarify this, but I think it was Limo telling me a story about how he did like the North Melbourne breakfast, the grand final breakfast one year, and he kind of went out the front, kind of maybe, yeah, going to another gig or whatever, and like it was like 8:30 in the morning, and there was like one bloke you overheard going, "Fuck man, I better slow down." It's like 8:30 in the morning.
Mate, it's grand final day.
Oh, dude. Hey, we got some footballers in real life coming up, but do you want to take us through some Supercoach stuff?
Yeah, so any junk timers who are interested in Supercoach, I've got a bunch of leagues here, so get your pens out and actually go get your pens and listen to Footballers in Real Life, and then we'll circle back and I'll give you these codes.
Hey, can I quickly, while people are getting their pens, can we talk about, was it Cunningham at Carlton who popped the shoulder?
Oh, yes.
He popped the shoulder while wrestling.
Yeah, and apparently, so David Cunningham, who he did his knee, I think, almost like a year and a half ago now, so sat out all of last year. He's had a really rotten run with Luck, and they were doing some wrestling in the change rooms,
yeah,
you know, as a part of their program, like the grappling kind of thing. And I, my understanding is they were maybe mucking around a little bit, and his shoulder came out, and Vossi weren't none too happy.
Yeah, sure, sure. Well, I think actually I had to kind of go towards like a work cover kind of thing, like kind of safety in the workplace. But the thing I found interesting about them wrestling is that the shoulder popped up when he got hit from behind with a chair.
You went all that way.
I did.
All that way for that. Hey,
did he blade? Did he blade?
Why don't I give you some Supercoach leagues while you all process that joke? So just if you can, junk timers, just choose one and pick that. Don't jump in all five because that would be unfair to our many millions of listeners.
And just so, before we get into this kind of fantasy world that you live in, so you're on the record saying, you know, you don't watch Star Wars because you're an adult. You don't read Harry Potter because you're an adult. You don't watch Marvel films or superhero films or Batman films because you're an adult. And yet you play a little game. You play a little contest where you have a fiction. You're a fictional coach of a fictional team. And do you pay money for this as well?
I am in a league where I do pay money.
You are a fucking child. I want to hit you with a chair right now.
I'd like to hit myself with a chair because of that joke.
Move on. Give you little codes of your little fantasy game.
If you want to join me in our little fantasy world, the Supercoach League numbers are 902-815. 797-88-593-708-593-207-160-207-160-887-094-887-094. And the final one, 578-743. That number again, 578-743. And I look forward to seeing you in there, junk timers. May the best and worstest team name win.
We're going to wrap it up shortly. We've got some footballers in real life, but don't forget our comedy festival shows. Adam and myself can be found at comedyfestival.com.au. You can click through to get the tickets there. It's going to be awesome. And we've got some footballers in real life from Wayne. On Sunday afternoon, I saw Lachie Neal, Hugh McLuggage and Jacob Pryor at the Halfway House at Brisbane Golf Club. Halfway House meaning like a, that's the name of the bar, do you think, or...?
Yeah, or maybe it's like if you're in between the 9th and 10th after you played the first 9.
Yep.
But I've never heard to it referred to as that.
I didn't see what Lachie Neal had from the snack bar as I was memorised by his cannonball calves. Pryor brought a chicken sandwich on wholemeal bread and Huey bought a tub of fruit salad and a muesli bar. The boys were staying healthy, no beers in sight. I spoke to Hugh. He agreed it was a hot day. The boys looked in very fine condition.
Good chat. That was a good chat.
The weather. Finally, I also saw Pryor at the Margaret River Chocolate Factory in October. He may be stalking me. At that time, he was getting stuck into free samples of milk chocolate buttons, off-season letting his hair down, no doubt. I was relieved to see him off the chocolate buttons and back on the sensible diet with the season approaching. I am actually curious. Oh, Margaret River Chocolate Factory. Yeah, sure. So, like, that would be a chocolate shop in Margaret River. I thought it was, like, maybe, like, a festival or something of some type.
Oh, okay.
From Damien, my wife Sam bumped into Paul Seedsman yesterday at Woolies in Brighton. It was a literal bump as they both did the sorry.
Yeah, don't read out the next bit, but he's just surprisingly tall.
Yeah. Yeah,
but thank you for the detail.
Yeah, we quickly redacted a bit there. We don't want to say, yeah, out loud. He wasn't wearing sunglasses and showed no measurable signs of concussion.
Interesting. So maybe what Damien is saying, that because Seedsman has already been ruled out, you know, which is not great, this season with concussion, but he was saying he's not wearing the sun. He's in the supermarket. Very bright in there. I hear what you're saying, Damien. It seems like he's just in it for the compo.
Yeah, we can't say what the redacted bit was, but yeah, don't put stuff like that in there.
No. Do put redacted stuff in, because that way we miss out. Don't you fucking dare tell people to withhold things from us, you idiot.
Okay, we're gonna hit the road. We're JunkTimeAlphaPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. Go Hookers.
Oh, that K is rough. Go Blues.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.